Steve Austin's my name. Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers is about to fly out to meet some of the economic hardheads and big names of the world, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, members of the US Federal Reserve in Washington. He's preparing Australia's budget, which he's due to deliver in a little under 2 weeks, his first as Treasurer of Australia. Jim Chalmers says inflation is likely to be a significant feature for the next 6 to 9 months. Now, while the Treasurer says the government is closely watching the situation, he has used the words blunt and brutal. And he's made it very clear that there'll be some significant tightening of the purse strings in Australia to pay for what Australians expect. And as you'll hear, since 2008, as you'll hear from my next guest, since 2008, the global financial crisis, central banks around the world have been what you might call printing money. They gave it a different name. They called it quantitative easing or bond buyback programs. Capital market players, like my guest, say that, well, we told you so, and now you have an inflationary problem. The good news is Australia, however, is in a much better position. So first, let's go to the Federal Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, who addressed the media today on the situation facing the global economic outlook.
The world is bracing for the third downturn in the course of the last decade and a half. And if it goes that way, as many expect, this will be a very different downturn to the two others that we've had over the course of the last decade and a half. The first one, the global financial crisis, was a financial shock that became a demand issue. The second one was a health shock, which became mostly a supply issue. This one is an inflation shock, and the risk here is a hard landing around the world brought about by the blunt and brutal, but in some ways necessary, tightening of monetary policy that we're seeing, particularly in the big advanced economies. And so that will be central to the conversation that we will have in Washington, D.C.
That's Federal Treasurer Jim Chalmers about to head off overseas ahead of his meeting with the IMF and the World Bank and other members of the US Federal Reserve before he returns to Australia to lay out his first budget in a bit over a week from now. So joining me in studio is Marcel von Pfeiffer from Arminius Capital. And Marcel, the last time I spoke with you was after the GFC, the global financial crisis, and I got you to walk me through the movie The Big Short, which explained the GFC pretty well.
Well, Margot Robbie explained it pretty
well. Margot Robbie, another...
Let's give due credit where it's due, as they say, Steve.
Explained it very well.
Yep.
Then everyone's lived through the health COVID-19 pandemic, which, as the Treasurer has explained, became a supply problem.
Yep.
And this one will be an inflation shock, apparently. So globally, what does an inflation shock look like?
It looks like hitting consumers in the back pocket, and it decreases, as we say in the trade, the purchasing power of their capital. So inflation comes about, and this is something that I've written a few notes while I've been listening to that clip from the Federal Treasurer. This is something we can talk about because our belief, and again, many people in a certain stream of economics would believe that inflation is primarily a government-caused tax, and as the late great Milton Friedman said, of course, is that inflation is everywhere. I'll paraphrase this: it's a monetary problem. That is to say, it's caused by the abject creation out of thin air of money.
So governments eroding the value of our currencies.
Yes, precisely. Okay. Well, of our savings,
spending power.
The currencies, which I think is something that he's alluding to in his comments there, when he points the finger that the advanced economies of the world, which of course Australia, being a member of the OECD, is viewed as an advanced economy, and again our foreign exchange medium, the Australian dollar, is I believe the fourth or fifth largest, depending on what year it's the metric's taken from, but yep. The fourth or fifth most actively traded currency in the world. So we are, however, a very small open economy. The United States of America, which is where he's travelling to tell them how upset and displeased he is with the situation that he believes they foisted upon us.
Well, let's look at the international. So give me, how does the global economy look? So the US, Europe, the UK, Japan, you know, the big industrial nations.
Yep.
Just briefly, how does it look internationally?
Doesn't look as good as it did before the Fed started to raise rates.
Right. The US Federal Reserve.
The US Federal Reserve, sorry. Mm-hmm. Yep. I will abbreviate almost everything and every
and
acronym.
I will try and translate almost everything.
Sorry. Just kick me under the table if I give you a three-letter acronym that makes no sense whatsoever. So the Federal Reserve, in its infinite wisdom, was 2 years late to the party. And again, the head of the US Treasury, Janet Yellen herself, the former head of the Federal Reserve, before the tenure of the current head of the Fed, Jerome Powell, stepped in. They spent a year and a half, Steve, decrying even the possibility that we were going to have, we as in the world, was going to have an inflationary outcome as a result of the huge levels of monetary policy implications and fiscal policy implications, that is to say, this support of governments around the world to print more money to increase the size of their debt on issue, the government debt as a percentage of government GDP.
They called it QE or quantitative easing or bond buyback, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, there's a number of different terms for it.
Philip Lowe, the Australian governor of the Reserve Bank here, believed them, accepted their situation.
Yes, and then
Michelle Bullock.
Bullock, yep.
Bullock from the Reserve. Australian Reserve Bank.
The RBA, yep. Issued a, if you took the painstaking journey, as I did, to read through the 20-odd pages of that, it was effectively a mea culpa to say that
it didn't work. Right.
Which all you really had to do was look to Japan and see that the number of different acronyms that they've given, yield curve control, et cetera, hasn't worked either. So the Treasurer has used the words blunt and brutal.
I don't recall a time where I've heard Australian Treasurer use those terms. I mean, that's a really – he's sending a message to us there, isn't he?
He is, and his speechwriters should be ashamed of themselves, because everybody knows that you use alliteration in groups of three. So, I mean,
what, blunt, brutal and terrifying or something?
No, he should have added belligerent, right, in my humble opinion, to that. So, I mean, the Federal Reserve – and, Steve, you and I have talked about this off-air a number of times over the past few months, and I have the cute little – anecdote that what the Federal Reserve has embarked upon, and now the ECB is doing as well, and they will all follow suit.
The Federal Reserve is the United States Central Bank. The ECB is the European Central Bank.
Thank you.
It's all good.
Is that they are attempting to drive a car with the foot on both the accelerator and the brake pedals at the same time.
Right.
So I say that because the accelerator, as we know, is them attempting to continue with the quantitative easing program. The brake pedal is, of course, them saying interest rates have been too low for too long and we are removing this accommodation from the economy.
Okay.
But those two things are mutually exclusive, and yet they are doing them at the same time, and they are completely and absolutely unapologetic for doing so. So they're both tightening monetary policy conditions. And as we saw in the episode 2 weeks ago, when the Bank of England had to step in and bail out the entire UK pension funds management sector, they said, okay, you guys are in a spot of bother because we've raised rates. So in order to help you, what we're going to do is print more money. So belligerent, I've added that to the trio. That's fairly, I mean, he's not from the RBA. So he can use much more colourful language as a politician than you will ever hear come from Jerome Powell or Christine Lagarde or
Philip
from
Lowe
Martin Place.
Yep.
Okay. Out of their mouths. Yeah.
All right. So things look pretty rough internationally. And it's likely, by the sounds of things, that inflation globally will continue to rise.
It's hard to see that won't happen, despite the protestations of all of those in the ivory towers. But again, I referenced what I said a couple of minutes ago, is that you know, two years ago. I mean, I remember when it all came down in it was about March 26, 2020, and they had this health shock, as the Treasurer referred to in his speech, number two. You had a health shock, which was born, B-O-R-N-E, of a virus, and they attempted to alleviate the problems on an economy, on the global economy, by printing money, as if that in of itself would be a vaccine. So we, in a very small echelon of capital markets, were part of the view that that was the beginning of a severe problem. So when he talked about there being three major ramifications or three large events that have happened in the last decade and a half, I would argue that that's quite incorrect, that the health shock, and then he subsequently refers to 0.3 as the inflation shock, they are one and the same.
Okay.
And if that isn't enough to swallow, then I'll actually go back and say, listen, there's actually not three, there's one. Is that you never, as in the central banks and the world governments, and the world central banks never got their house in order post-GFC. And what we are living through today, COVID excluded, but the way they dealt with COVID to deal with a viral infection, they did this. They created inflation.
All right. So this is where I'm really on the inevitable outcome of the quantitative easing programs of the world's central banks stemming from 2008. And the chickens have come home to roost, to use a terrible metaphor. And here we are.
Yep. The can has been kicked down the road.
For so long, for so many years.
And the final destination is almost upon us.
And someone has to pay.
Yeah, yeah. And as we've seen, you know, the litmus test here, Steve, was 2 weeks ago when clearly the UK is in a spot of bother, bother, as they would say.
Yes.
They are going to have 12% inflation next year. Okay.
The United Kingdom.
United Kingdom will print a CPI of 12%. Next year, guaranteed. So the bond market in England has reacted to that accordingly and appropriately, which is to increase the yield at the long end of the curve. So 30-year, I'll speak English for you now. So 30-year gilts, which is what the English call bonds, 30-year bonds in the UK moved from about 3% to about 5% in a matter of months. Now, that doesn't sound much, and I know people's eyes are probably glazing over. But in bond land, we are talking about 1 in 100 year type movements.
Right. Okay.
And I'm not exaggerating because I worked through the GFC, so I know statistics. And when you say 1 in 100 years, like this was a very material move.
My guest is Marcel von Pfeiffer from Arminius Capital. We're talking the global scene, given what the Treasurer Jim Chalmers has said today, using the terms blunt and brutal, that there's an inflation shock coming. Just briefly, I don't want to get bogged down in other countries, but how does Europe look, just briefly, you know, inflation-wise? Can you say?
They've got, to a lesser degree, because their market has had a far more horrific their stock market has had a far more horrific experience for longer than both the Americans and Australia. Inflation typically runs lower in Europe than it does in other parts of the world.
Okay.
And they have only recently come out of negative territory. But the biggest problem is, as I'm sure some people will be aware of, is that Germany, which is the powerhouse of the EU, Germany has just released the highest PPI numbers. I will self-correct myself here on the acronym, Producer Price Index, the highest PPI number since Germany was federated. And indeed, if you go back to the old unified Germany, it's been the highest PPI number since the Great Depression. So 44-45% increase in what producers have to pay to make something higher than last year.
Okay.
Right?
All right, UK 12% inflation next year. What about the US? What's the market saying the US inflation rate's going to be next year?
The market has been living for so long off the largesse of the central bank, of the Federal Reserve. Your listeners would be, I'm sure, intimately acquainted with the term "buy the dip." So what this purports to relate to is that whenever the stock market in America since the GFC has fallen about 10%, whoever is the head of the Federal Reserve at the time gives a rousing speech and says, "Not on my watch," and then the market goes up again. So market participants have been conditioned since 2009 to step into the market every time it falls 10% and they buy it and it goes up again. What happens when something occurs repeatedly and you become conditioned to it? It's all well and good until it stops happening. And then what happened? The Federal Reserve belatedly, as I said earlier, admitted that inflation, which they caused and the Treasury caused in the US since March 2020, they admitted it's not transitory. They admitted that it's not going to go away. It's not going to be a flash in the CPI data that will get ironed out due to seasonality. It's actually real. And the market, half the market said, "I told you so," which was us. It's like, what did you actually expect the outcome?
So capital markets.
Capital markets, okay. Yeah.
Said, "We told you so."
We told you so. Like, you've increased the monetary base and you've increased debt, et cetera. you know, 30 trillion. Like, the numbers are astronomical. I remember talking to you in the GFC, and you had to correct and ask me for clarification when I was speaking in trillions.
Yes.
Right? So these guys have just added 30 trillion to try and contain something that is viral, that is born of a viral infection, right? All of a sudden, they've got an inflation problem. And they're like, oh, we didn't see this coming. It's like, you had one job to do. You got one job to do as a central banker, and you've blown it. So, so they're sitting here now admitting that inflation's not actually transitory. Half the market believes them, half the market doesn't believe them.
Okay.
And when you have such a mismatch of views, of investor views, you get increased volatility. And then sometimes people go, hold on, self-doubt. What if I'm wrong? And what if the other side of the trade is actually right? And then no one does anything. And what you get then is you get a liquidity problem because there are no market participants.
Right. So Jim Chalmers has said there's going to be some tightening.
Yep.
Now, things shouldn't be as bad here in Australia because we're in the remarkably fortunate position again of having a whole lot of stuff that everyone else in the world wants or needs. Mm. Now, I know it's not your main focus, but can you speak to that briefly, Marcel?
Sure. I mean, the Australian situation is that we, as I said before, we are a small open economy. Most of what we produce in this country, we dig up out of the ground, or it emanates from the finance sector, as that is to say, it's produced by mortgages and the housing sector. So that's a conversation for another day.
Yep.
But the housing market in Australia, I think the trifecta of the RBA, the regulator, and the government have made it very clear that they will not abandon construction and the housing sector in Australia. So they'll do their own bits to prop that up, if I can use that word,
Okay. Because
that is what it is in reality. The other component is resources. Resources, Steve, as we all know, are priced in. When we dig them out of the ground in Australia, they're priced in
US dollars.
They're not priced in Australian dollars. So despite all the flapping that you will hear come from people with high roles in Australia, they will not be hurting too much when the Australian dollar is lower because the countries we're selling it to can afford to buy more of that product for a lower price to them.
Yep.
And we get paid high volume. So they need to keep inflation. They need to keep an eye on inflation. Australia is in the interesting situation that the unemployment rate is historically phenomenally low. You don't tend to get into problems in recessionary environments until the unemployment rate begins to creep up, and there doesn't seem to be any sign of that. The other thing you need to keep an eye on in Australia is the participation rate in the labour force, as in, that is to say, how many people actually are employed. So the operating environment of the company that is called Australia Inc. is that the operating environment for the company is quite good that Australia finds itself in. It would be pleasing if the Australian government would pay a little more heed to fiscal rectitude. And by that I say just keeping an eye on the debt to GDP ratios. The real problem that the markets are finding both in Europe and America is that due to COVID, March 2020, they all embarked upon these massive spending sprees, which was fine because interest rates were very low. They've increased their government debt to GDP ratios significantly. And when interest rates start to rise, as they are absolutely doing in America, and we think they're going to get to about 4.5% in America, I do not know what the people in Martin Place are thinking. As the central bank of your country begins to raise the cash rate, then the government, the burden of the interest repayments the government has to make on its own government debt that it's issued, that it's printed, rises well. So they just need to be very, very, very cognizant that they're on top of that.
Marcel von Pfeiffer from Arminius Capital, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Steve, anytime.
Marcel von Pfeiffer, Arminius Capital, manages a hedge fund. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. The treasurer is flying out tonight to meet with the International Monetary Fund, executives from the World Bank and the US Federal Reserve to put the final tweaks and touches to his first ever federal budget due for release in Australia in a little under 2 weeks.
This is ABC Radio Brisbane.